because we have a very special program tonight, a unique man in studio. In the season of 1939-40, a young Kerry man ducked under the ropes of the National Stadium boxing ring in Dublin to fight for the Irish senior bantamweight title. And what was to happen in the next few minutes would create a page of sporting history, and I am honored tonight to welcome him to Terrace Talk to look back on his marvellous career. Oliver Brown, you're very welcome to the programme.
Richard.
Will I call you Oliver or Ollie?
Yeah, Ollie, I suppose
better. You're better known as Ollie.
I know that.
You won't be insulted if I call you Oliver.
That's all right.
Anyway, Ollie, you're very, very, very welcome. Do you know what? We'll start the night you won that title. Talk to us how it came about, Ollie.
Yes, that's... I went to Limerick the year before and was beaten in the final of the flyweights. I was bantamweight and the other thing. And I went again the following year, met the same fellow in the final, Muggsy Ryan. Nice little man he was. And I beat him well in the final of the flyweights. So as a flyweight winner, or any winner, you're entitled to go to the national championships. So we had a discussion anyway at the meeting. I represented, as a boxer, I represented the boxers at the meetings. The rest of them were high-flown kind of guys, most of them. So they said that I had no chance of a national title. I won the flyweights, all right, but I never won it. It was nothing. Munster was nothing to win it, but it was held enough. Anyway, I remember Johnny Morgan, God be good to him, he stood up, he said, I'd take Ollie myself, he said, at my own expense, if the club doesn't pay his expenses. So that finished that, anyway, they had to take me then, that.
This was the Desmond's Boxing Club,
the Desmond Boxing Club, the old Desmond Boxing Club.
Right, Ollie. Yep.
Frank McGinn, Pat Ryan were two very well-known men that were in at that time, right. And Pat Ryan, we went by Hackney Car. That time they weren't as cheap, or at least they weren't as dear as they are now. And we got digs in Dublin on North Circular Road, where the stadium was built. I was the South Circular Road, God knows.
And we're talking about the year 1939.
We're 39 now, yes, 39. Right. And we got in and made all the arrangements and all that. And Jim Savage was taken as well then. Not to miss him. Another boxer. And I think I was the first to go on. That meant I'd have two more fights after that then.
Right.
So, not on the same night. So three spread over three nights. Just. Mm-hmm. So, I won my first fight, knockout. First round, I think. I can't even think of his name, would you believe?
Right.
But he was good class. Then the following night, I had no fight. That meant I'd have two fights if I was to win the third, or the second, mm-hmm. and the third one. So, I met my man in the second round anyway, and I beat him again. And I was after eating too quickly the night, the time before we came onto the boxing. And I got a cramp in my stomach after the first fight. And whoever it was, I never met him after, came in during the rounds, you know, the other fights, saw I was in agony, and produced a bottle. Now, I never saw the old man before. Drink it up at that, he says, you're cured. And whatever he did for me, he put my stomach right on him.
Right.
That was the third night. I had no fight the second night, that's right. And then I was to meet Blackman Dial, as they called him. Miles Dial was his proper name. A tough man, I can tell you, and a very fine boxer.
In the final?
In the final.
Blackman Dial. And Muggsy Ryan.
And Muggsy was the fellow in Limerick.
Yeah, but I like the nicknames.
Yes,
go on, anyway.
They had a lot of nicknames. So I went to anyway, and next minute, he came off the ropes at me, shot out a hand, and split his eye. Fight stopped. Take the knockout.
In the first round?
Yeah. I was still a hidden pint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't immediate, you know, like straight away as I'm telling it. But that's what happened.
into the middle of the ring, referee cuts your hand, tell us what happened.
So that's it. And yeah. I was jumping on the place.
Were you?
I couldn't believe it.
Were you, yeah.
Naturally.
You were Irish champion.
Yeah.
You were presented with your cup then, I presume.
Well, at the end of the night then.
Yeah.
End of the night.
Yeah, you were presented with
and,
your
cup. And there was some very good, very big man in the political game at the time. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. What about, who was in your corner?
Joe Merrimer, man.
Joe Merrimer,
Percy Dunn.
Percy Dunn.
Sergeant Percy Dunn. They were both in the army at the time.
Yeah.
And they were both above, and they were stationed down here for the Desmond Club training.
Yeah.
And it was Percy did most of my training.
And then the homecoming. Talk to us about that. Was how special was it? Did it make big waves in Kerry that this man is coming home and he's the...
I wouldn't say so, but yeah. There was very big headlines in the Sunday Independent. I remember that.
Yeah.
Kerry by wins title. That was across the sports page of the thing.
Right.
And my father and a couple of more, he had no care himself, but he was brought out there. And... who else? Frank McGinn came out. Johnny Morgan came out. We all arrived anyway when the car arrived in Kerry. And we drove into three, and there was a crowd and met us at Clash. Fairly big crowd. And a friend of mine, not a person or two, owned for us. He brought down my... excuse me. He brought down my two cups.
Yeah.
With the crowd. And we walked up to... I was living in... oh my goodness, sorry about that.
Yeah, makes no difference.
I was in Railway Terrace at the time. I was living in Railway Terrace.
Yeah.
And they were all out, of course, and tapping and cheering.
Yeah.
Tommy Lynch then, he was in the champion paper at the time. Right. He was like a small mayor at three.
Yeah.
He read out a welcome speech then. That was that. I'd finished.
Ollie, did you ever rethink that time? What age were you in, by the way?
Just at the wrong side of 18.
Did you ever... You never visualised, of course, that you were 81 now, and you were flying, working and everything. We'll be talking about that later on. But did you ever visualise that nobody would win a title since then?
I couldn't believe that, part of it, because there was quite a number of boxers around that time, you know. They were good... and fairly good boxers.
And you got the Hall of Fame there a few weeks ago.
Yes.
In the 2 weeks ago, the Glen Eagle.
That's right.
And you said there was people ringing you up. The Hall of Fame has meant actually to you, there was people ringing you up. Tell me what you told me a while ago.
Yeah, it was Dale actually. Because the first one out there, are you still working?
And they meant, of course, are you still alive?
Yes.
You are working as a physiotherapist and a orthopedist and working full time. Ali, we're going for a quick break because we will have to talk about 0667123666 if you want to be in for one of those two vouchers. Get in your comments and our guests or your messages. Stay with us and tell us talk. Ali, born in Tralee, talk to us about where you were born and your family. And
well, my father was a railwayman, and he was from Cork. Came down to live in Tralee, shifted down by the railway. Met my mother, Rathmaster, and we lived in Rock Street then, at 2 doors above Barry's.
Your mother was Kate Reardon.
She was Kate Reardon. Reardon were well known to readers.
Was she anything to Johnny Reardon, the goalkeeper?
No, nothing that line out here, no.
Yeah.
Psyche Reardon was better known as... He was one of the Reardons I was concerned with, like, you know, or cousins to.
Yeah.
And we had... I was the only boy. There were three girls in the family.
What were their names, Ali?
Oh, two of them are dead, no?
One alive.
The youngest, she's in... She's in married in Dublin.
She
had a big family for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I was out to send her a supplement, of course.
Out to Kerry, and you'll be sending her a tape of the show, of course, tonight. There's no doubt she'd be anxious. And of course, you joined the railway. Talk to us then about what you worked at all your life.
I was a fireman for more. So you started as a cleaner.
Yeah.
And you graduated a fireman then. And I was stationed in different places. I was stationed in Clonakilty.
Right.
I was 13 years in Kinvair. It became my second home, you might say.
Yeah.
I was stationed in Killarney for a while.
Yeah.
Well, Killarney, Kinvair. I was going between the two places. 3 nights in Killarney, four nights in Kenmare.
What was it like, Connie, working in the trains? What did you work in Cotterill?
The time I was there, it was a sad time, or a bad time, and a tough time, because this bad cold came in. And my God, you do 3 days work in one. It was so hard. The cold was so bad.
Yeah.
Trying to keep steam, and the engines started to get old very quickly.
Right.
And they couldn't be kept in repair, you know, yeah, as well as they before. That they'd steam away themselves, kind of. But we yeah had to get every ounce out of them.
Yeah.
And for the heavy, dirty.
That's a tough job.
Tough job.
It
and you're almost out in the open on the steam engine, you know.
Oh, yeah. It kept you very fit.
Nearly did, you mean?
what route were you travelling?
I was stationed in Mallow. I had all the way up to Tullos, Waterford Express, Kerry Mill, then from Mallow to Tralee. Then Clanachilty was, of course, a branch line,
yeah,
and Kilmare was a branch line. They were a gift.
Yeah.
Kilmare was grand. I loved it.
You travelled ahead?
Fishing and shooting there and things like that.
You travelled the Headford line?
I did indeed for yeah my 13 years of it.
They tell me when the Kerry team won All Ireland back around the early part of the century, the train you stop are outside of Headford and leave after Diglin Flesby's outside if we're playing a Bungrog Bar.
Oh, that's yeah
what you. Oh, no, the boxing. How did you get in? Was there boxing in the family?
No.
No. How did you get involved now in boxing, Ali?
I don't know. I seem to like it.
How did you get your first pair of gloves?
I tell you, I got my pair of gloves. You had this plumed before. I suppose my father used to smoke sweet often.
Yeah.
And money was scarce, and presents, like boxing gloves, were very scarce. So he spared up anyway, and I helped him do it to get enough things to get a pair of, they were kind of type of cannabis gloves, but they were quite good.
Yeah.
And I was more promoting boxing that time than boxing myself.
Yeah.
Because I had fellas gone to school with me, and I'd bring him up to the cellars, and we'd fight and all that kind of thing. And then the boxing club was formed. Well, there was a boxing club I was in Tralee even before that, the Desmond Boxing Club. And I joined that.
Listen, before we go further, you see them things there, put them on your ears, them pair of winkers. turn it up the other way now. Yeah, that's all right, yeah. Can you, yeah. And anyway, I mean to say something to you now. You spend about 10 years working in Killarney. I remember when I used to be passing down High Street, I'd see you coming out to Donny Sheehan's shop. And you'd have a lovely white coat, and you were doing your chiropody and your physiotherapy.
Ah, yes, but that was a different game altogether.
In Donny Sheehan's, you
yes,
spent 10
right
happy years there.
I used to spend Wednesdays, every second Wednesday.
And you became great friends with Donny and Carmel.
I didn't.
And Donny's on the line to say hello to you, because there's a few things to say. Donny, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Rishi. Congratulations, Ollie.
Thank you, Donny.
I'm delighted that you, at least, that you were acknowledged at last, because the Killer Callaghan always said you were one of the greatest, and you knew the Killer well. And on behalf of Carmel and the family and myself, we're delighted that at the long last that you've been recognised, and you deserve every bit of it.
Thank
we
you.
We've spent many happy times together, you and I.
Exactly.
They don't know, you were very interested in clay pigeons shooting at one time.
Yes.
And you were a bit of an expert at that, but only you and I knew that. And I would like to tell one thing, I read your article in the Kerryman and I was delighted. But the fellow that knocked you up was a fellow called Craig McKelligott.
That's right.
You said to Leahy.
Yes, I made a mistake. McKelligott.
And of course, I was young mad in the store at the time, and we thought McKelligott was the greatest thing when he knocked out the champion. But it took you about 2 years to get him back into the ring again.
That's
at least 2 years. He ducked you and he didn't want to fight you. He knew it was a lucky punch that night that just knocked you out. He admitted that. He had a good punch, and that's all he had.
Donny, he became part and parcel of your life in Killarney in the shop of Carmel yourself. He was with you for 10 years.
He was, and he was great. We were very fond of him, and all the lads were very fond of him. And I knew he was still alive. I know if he was dead, I'd have heard this, Ollie. And Ollie, I'm delighted to hear your voice. I'm delighted to hear you so well. I hope we'll keep an old white coat like myself. I'm retired from the GAA small bit, but I still have the white coat on me.
What about the horses?
I'm still in the horses. Still in the horses.
We'll never do without them in there.
But, Ollie, how are you keeping?
Very good.
How are those knees and the...
I have two of them. I have one knee repaired and two hips repaired.
Oh, my God. I'm
getting along.
Dolly, aren't we lucky to have a man, an exemplary person like this, that he stands out after the only Kerry man ever to win a national title? We're lucky to have him.
We are, of course, and he's a marvellous ambassador, and he's an honourable man, and I couldn't speak highly enough of Ollie, because I soldiered with him for a long time, and we had many a good laugh, and many, we debated many things, and a very intelligent man.
Donnie, before I let you go, the match went off all right in the stadium Sunday, the snow cleared and everything. You're keeping an eye on things even though you're retired now.
Yeah. When I woke up a Sunday morning and looked out my window, I said, oh my God, Liam was on the phone at 9 o'clock, what was the position? I said, the place is covered with snow, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
I suppose there'll be no match. We got away with it anyway,
sure.
And the pitch turned out very well.
Perfect. And listen, Tony, you're after 50 years, of course, we had you here in Terrace talking here. We'll be keeping in touch if you're talking again. And listen, thanks for that lovely trip to Ollie.
Thank you very much,
Tony. Ollie, and I wish you all the very best. You know that.
We'll
in Carmel wants to be associated with all of and I wish you all the very best. You know that.
Thank you, Tony. Always nice to talk to my friend. Thank you, Tony. That's Tony Sheehan there now. We were talking then about your young days in the boxing. How did you get in then? You were practicing away then and boxing away with the canvas gloves, as the fella says. How did you get into a bit of competitive boxing, then, Ollie?
I joined the Desmond Boxing Club. And there were the old timers that were there, that the Callahans and Gerard Callahan, and a lot of them. And they were fine, no lads, and they were well attuned to the sport, you know, and meant to get on with it. But the cash was the trouble.
Yeah.
And the players to train.
Yeah.
That was very hard to get that time.
Yeah.
And, but eventually we got different places, and we got a great committee. Jim Gallivan and Frank McGinn, Johnny Morgan, one of the best men I ever met.
Right.
And it went on and got better. And of course, when I got when I won the championship, then it was easy to get fights. I was going around the country. The war broke out then, you see.
Yeah. Now, before we come to you, you're travelling around, Ollie, locally then, you boxed around Kerry and Munster. Was there Munster championships and Kerry championships? Talk about that side of your boxing.
Oh, yes.
Talk about Kerry first now. Was there Kerry championships?
I won 4 Kerrys and 4 Munsters.
Who were the big men in the boxing in Kerry that time when you were boxing? There was a lot of them around, really.
They were all about the same class, kind of.
I know. And then in Munster, how many Munsters did you win?
I won 4 Munsters.
You won 4 Munsters, then, yeah.
And, they were all Munster. They were further out, and again, you see, they were better class again and all that.
Now, when you won the Irish title, you were picked to go to Poland, weren't you?
No, I was done out of it, except I should have, as champion, I should have been picked to go to America.
To America, right.
That was the one trip everybody wanted.
Right, of course.
But they said I had no experience.
Who were they?
The Dublin crew were running it, you see.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to get anything from Dublin, I can tell you, when they were in charge of it.
Right.
Even winning fights was hard to get.
Yeah.
Didn't do that much.
Right.
But eventually, as a kind of a dial went instead of me then.
Yeah.
And I was
the fellow you beat.
Oh yeah,
he was picked and said
he was picked because he had more experience.
Yes, yeah.
I said to one of them, I spoke to him a few times myself.
Yeah.
Where am I going to get the experience if you keep me at home?
Yeah.
They have no answer to that. I tell you, Dial was over there before.
Yeah.
And he was a good rough horse boxer, if you like.
Yeah.
And I suppose he had the pull.
Yeah.
It all showed up then the next time, the next championships.
No, you should have won it. You should have won it the second year.
Second.
Yeah, what happened there, Ali?
I got a bad decision, and I'm back and back from Norway and over that.
Right.
Because they kept up his own crowd, the Dublin crowd.
Yeah.
They kept up, we want Brown, and stamped the leg for 3 full fights after. Yeah? Anybody was at the stadium that night will tell you the truth.
And who got the decision over that night?
He did.
He did?
Yes.
The same fella?
Yes, Doyle,
yeah. Blackman?
I met him 3 weeks after.
Yeah.
And out of the we boxed six rounds and the next night, instead of 3 threes, 6 twos.
Yeah.
And he didn't win any round. He drew one round and I beat him the rest.
Before we go for a break, I think, Ali, your experience is like a lot of experiences that Kerry fellas are still having down in Kerry, trying to get big jobs in various sporting organisations. What'll they do? They'll keep you out if they can. We hope that it won't fall through for a lot of warming, going for big jobs. But we're going for a break, whatever about big jobs. 0667123666 if you want to get in your comments. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. We're going to the comment line because we're going way back to the 50s now, because Kilgarvan, we often hear this, they won 3 county championships in 53, 56 and 58, senior hurling county championships. And that was a big event, of course, that time, and it's still a big thing. And the trainer was one Oliver Brown. Yourself trained him, and one man you trained, he's on the line to talk to us. He's our great friend. We're always delighted to hear from Dennis P. O'Sullivan, Tá Fáilte Road. And your old friend here trained you to 3 county championships.
It has been a joy listening to him there.
Lovely, Dennis.
I certainly say that he has a most vivid memory.
Away with you, Dennis. Your memories of this man.
There about 1939 is when it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think I have vivid memories of 1953 as well.
Yeah.
We were not yet at over at the time. We had a young up-and-coming team. We had a pile of young minor material. And we got to the semi-finals in 1952. Artert played Abidorney and we played Clatter, and Abidorney and Kilgarvan were beaten by a few points. And at the time, the usual system in Kerry was for first round, first team out of hat had home venue, and after that was neutral venues. And I put in a motion for the Kerry County Convention that there'd be a losers round, and it was passed. And lucky enough, we were away at Abidorney in the first round of the championship. And the game ended 5-4 for Abidorney, 4-5 for Kilgarvan. Killarney, of course, had powerful teams at the time, and they had a good win over Ballyduff in the opening round. So at Kinmare, we met Ballyduff in the losers' round, and we came out on top. After that, we came up against Clatter in the quarter-final, and the year before, we felt we took Clatter's measure if we met him again. We ran him so close, and we had a very good win. That put us into the semi-final against Ballyhoy Causeway, and we came up trumps against them with an easy win and left us in the final for Lixnair.
And things were serious then, Dennis?
Yeah, the evenings were getting short.
Right.
Field training was at a minimum then. And our good friend and the former late vice chairman of our club, Ned Linehan, who also worked with Ollie in Kinmare with CIE, introduced Ollie to Kilgarvan and got him to do the physical training. We were inside in a small room in the old school.
Right.
Put up for cycling and down for duck. They were his favourite exercises.
Yeah.
And I suppose he put tremendous work into it. And a great man in the level of fitness. There's been great fun there. We had a great social time at it. Because maybe now and again, a few fellas, you say, they were bad cyclists. But the final day came at Lixnair and Tralee. It was a glorious day, like Ollie remembering his boxing exploits in 1939. I remember as it was yesterday, the 3rd of October. There were 2 buses, coaches hired from Castellone Bear. Every car and every mode of conveyance in Kilgarvan was used to take us there. And a glorious day at Aston Stack Park. I think there were paper records that in the 11th minute, I think I opened the scoring with a goal for Kilgarvan. But things didn't keep rosy for too long because Lixnair went into a lead of 2-2-1 goal. And they were pressing us, Kilgarvan, and I think at that stage of the game, the Kilgarvan defence actually kept us in it because Lixnair had a great team. They had defenders like Jimmy Hogan, Richie McElligott. They had Balboa Connell, who starred later in New York at midfield. And he was partnered by a name, I forget, he was a garda from Limerick.
And no doubt Ollie's training had a lot to do with it.
And it came to half-time, and it was 2-2-1 goal and a point. And at half-time, can you remember, Ollie, what you said to us?
I don't really, not that much.
Well, I'll recall it for you. You said the pace of this game, only one team will stick it, and that will be Kilgarvan. Uh-huh. And the game resumed in the second half.
I knew they were very fit.
And very early in the second half, we had our second goal. I got one, and Richie Purcell got one, and Kilgarvan went into a two-point lead. It looked like an eternity then, looking up at the scoreboard. 2 points ahead, if Kicksnare got a goal, we were down again. But we separated and we came 3 points ahead, and it came to a stage that we reached 4 goals and 4 points, and Kicksnare's 1 point came in the dying minutes of the second half.
Dennis, what does Ollie Brown mean to Kerry Sport, if I let you
Ollie Brown meant a tremendous lot, because 2 years, in 1952 and 1954, he'd been training the Kinmare District Board footballers, and they reached the county finals.
How would he be remembered in Kerry Sport?
Bringing the only All-Ireland title to Kerry in handball is something unique.
It is.
And everyone have wonderful admiration for him. He was a great character.
Thank you, Dennis. Thanks very much for joining us.
Right.
Thank you, Dennis.
That was lovely tribute there from Dennis Pearson.
Nice to hear from you again.
Dennis P, great man himself for the hurling.
Absolutely.
He is indeed. Yeah. Ollie, come here. Go and wait quickly from the boxing. Clear Pigeon, somebody told me that you were a great man with the gun. Is that right? Now, the Clear Pigeon shooting.
I don't know that I'm great in that, but I'm very fond of it.
Yeah, you are. How did you get involved in that? How long are you involved in it?
I did a bit of shooting. I was a young fella. It was cowboys and engines and all this kind of thing, when we were very young.
Yeah.
And then I got a pellet gun, was the next thing. And eventually I got a rifle. And then I didn't like shooting birds so much, but I still bought a double barrel. And they started this tape pigeon shooting around three. Beyond three there, outside near Brenneville and beyond it.
Yeah.
And I joined in and I got to like it and I kept on and on and on. I was a member of the Kerry Club, of course.
Yeah.
And the Three Club.
Yeah. It's a good sport, Ali. I don't know.
Well, it's fascinating if you like it.
Yeah. Well, it gives you an impression you have to be very quick, very accurate.
You have to be a good shot. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. There's a John O'Sullivan from Fathom 4 was on. He wants to know, what's your belly heart connection?
Oh,
says Ali.
No. My belly heart connection is this.
Yeah.
That my father married again, secondly.
Right.
And Eileen Leary was one of the belly heart Learys. She was the woman he married.
Yeah. So that's your belly heart.
Yes, exactly.
That's your belly heart connection.
The nicest lady I ever met in my life.
Now, John Sullivan, that answers the question, answers all. Ollie. You were deeply involved in Gaelic football, not alone training teams to win county championships like you were talking to Dennis P. But you were robbed, as the fella says, in your job.
Excuse
as a physiotherapy.
I never allowed that word to be used.
No,
for
in
me.
Your job.
Massage.
Massage. In the height of your career, you massaged, as the fella said, the greats of Gaelic football.
I didn't.
What was your involvement with the Kerry team that time, Dennis?
Who brought me over now? Doctor or what? Someone he was a footballer himself too.
Yeah.
Seamus.
Listen, before we'll be thinking about it, because there's a Pat, we'll go into the comment line again now. Pat O'Sullivan from Killarney. Pat, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Ishi. One thing I'd like to say there to Oliver is congratulations and well done, Oliver.
Thank you.
Oliver, do you remember in the old Market Lane when you were walking down his Sheehan's?
Yes.
Did you remember a lady by the name of Hannah Cooper?
I did, of course. One of my best friends. And her husband, Mickey Cooper.
That's right. Well,
and her daughter?
Her daughter, Ed.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm married to her daughter, Pat O'Sullivan.
Oh, Lord.
You're married. Pat, I know who we have now, not to come down. But the Cooper man you're talking about was one of the founder members of my own club, the Legion, in 1929.
He was.
That is correct.
Pat, thanks for giving me the opportunity of getting that in there. That's nice, Ali.
That's very good.
Yeah. You remember Ali well, Pat?
I remember Ali very well, and he was a gentleman.
A gentleman. And still is. Not alone he was, he still is, Pat.
he still is. But do you remember the times when you was coming, when my son Michael, he's now 30 years of age, But you remember when you used to do shadow boxing with him?
Yeah, he was only a child then,
yeah, he was a nice footballer too, I tell you.
That's oh, yeah. But anyway, was, Oliver, congratulations and well done.
Thank
and
you very much.
Not
indeed.
Before time.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Pat Sullivan, dear from Killarney. Know the man well. And just before we go for a break, 0667123666. Stay with us and tell us, talk. John O'Donoghue, fan four, Oliver, a great shooting friend, probably better known as a clear pigeon shooter rather than a boxer. He says you're better at the shooting than the boxer. We don't agree with that. Frank Will, Kilgarvan, congratulations from all the Kilgarvan hurlers in Ireland, England, America and South Africa. They're from all over the place.
No,
he trained Kilgarvan to win three hurling championships.
The last man should have said, as a boxer, I'm a good shooter, and as a shooter, I'm a good boxer.
Well said, Ali. Mick O'Neill, 57 spot. That's my good friend, Mick. Best of luck with the Hall of Fame award. That's for Mick O'Neill and Mary Lawler, Carol Ann Tralee. Congratulations, Ali, on your Hall of Fame. Mary Lawler, do you know Mary? That's Mary. Danny Long, 23, racecourse, Lawn Tralee. Congratulations, Ali. Delighted to be associated with him. Great man and a great chiropodist. We'll get along to that, I think. You say it for me, what is it?
I pronounce it hard, see, chiropodist.
You say a chiropodist.
Yes.
Do you, yeah?
Yes.
But we were getting back to the Kerry team. You were involved as a masseuse with lots of great footballers.
Well, physio.
Dr.
Raymond
and
all of them,
yeah.
And they were all coming to me.
Yeah.
And I was going to them, I started in Killarney, first of all.
Yeah.
And when I got set up, of course, they were coming home to me then.
Yeah.
I travelled with him. I didn't travel very much.
Yeah.
Because I was, well, I had a young family myself at that time, two young sons and my wife, and I couldn't be away that much. And they came to my surgery then and got on like that.
Yeah.
Ty Crowley, not the best thing, was there that time. He was a secretary.
Ty,
and he was, they paid for them then.
Ali, you were born in Tralee and reared in Tralee. Does Tralee mean a lot to you?
Oh, Lord, just yes, my best town.
Yeah.
But Kinmare, if I was there any longer, I'd never have left it.
Wouldn't you? You love Kinmare?
Oh, the fishing and everything else.
Oh, that's a nice place for Kinmare, because I tell you, we're going up to North Kerry now because we're going to the Comet Line. And would you believe next Friday night in the National Stadium in Dublin, there's a young man from Ballyduff, Boxing Club, trying to emulate you. He's starting off, he's boxing, he's Frankie Bryan, you stabbed him.
I met him the last night.
You were in the front of the Kerry man with himself and his brother. It's a beautiful photograph. And the man who's training him, who's doing great work out there in the Ballyduff Boxing Club, is John O'Regan. You met John? Great man. He brought the gloves the last night to the Hall of Fame. John, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Rishi. Thanks. Hello, Ali. How are you doing?
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I just want to congratulate you again, Ali, on your great success and on your Hall of Fame award.
What kind of an accent have you told me?
I'm a Dublin man, Ali, believe me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And I can understand...
I won't hold it against you.
I can understand what you went through in the stadium, because I've been up there with Frankie and the boys numerous occasions, and it can be very intimidating, because the Dublin crowd really love their boxers. And
I'm sure. And you know what? There's one thing about it. They are fair.
Oh, they're fair.
Because
they're fair
for me, fair. For me, the night I was reputedly myself, I got the wrong decision.
Yeah. No, but they are very fair. Like
they are indeed. Yeah.
They do like their boxing up there.
John,
they're fanatical about it, like in Belfast and places.
Absolutely.
Like that, where, you know, you're the
John, I know that the two boys that Frankie and Gary met him at the Hall of Fame. What did it mean to the two boys to meet an Irish and Kerry man that won a title?
They were over the moon, really.
Yeah?
They never started. They really enjoyed the night, like, and the highlight for them was meeting Ollie.
Yeah. No.
I can honestly say that.
No.
I was going to tell the good one after, but I got no chance. A funny story.
But come here, John. He's nearly fit enough to put on the gloves himself all the time.
When I met Ali first on the night, I told Ali, I said, Ali, I have a bag here with me and I have two boxers here.
Yeah.
A pair of boxing gloves in the bag.
Yeah.
And Ali is sharp as a razor, of course. He says to me, well, I'm not boxing him tonight.
No, John, next Friday night, Frankie's stepping into the ring.
That's right.
Talk to us about it.
Well, I was on to the stadium and I've got the draw. The draw isn't made, but I've got the list of boxers. There's 10 boxers in Frankie's weight.
Right.
It's a very competitive weight, middleweight.
Right.
And there's five Dublin boxers.
Yeah.
There's a guy from Cork, there's a guy from Mayo, and there's a guy from Galway. Now, I know most of the boxers, there's only two that I don't know. And the guy from Cork now is Tommy Fitzgerald, and he won a senior title in New Zealand. And he's home from New Zealand. He won a senior title in 2000. And I've seen him boxing, and he's a very, very strong boxer.
Is the draw made yet, John?
Sorry, Weezy?
The draw isn't made yet, is it?
The draw will be made on Friday at about 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Now, he boxes next Friday, and if he wins then, he boxes again the following weekend.
Well,
is that it?
What they have is the preliminary round. So,
right.
Like, with 10 boxers, the way they work the draw is six of the boxers get a bye into the quarterfinals.
Right.
And two boxers box in the preliminary. So we're hoping and keeping our fingers crossed that he'll get a good draw and that he might even have to box in the preliminaries, you know.
He might get a bye straight away, you know.
Yeah, he might get a bye. We're just keeping our fingers
crossed. John, listen, the whole county will be keeping their fingers crossed and we'll all be watching out carefully and we'll all be saying a little prayer for him, hoping that he emulates this man in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay, John?
Listen, can I just say one other thing
you
about
can, of course.
I was on to the stadium about him.
Yeah.
And they had the archives there.
Yeah.
And they told me that the guy he boxed, Blackman Dial, was one of the most highly rated boxers in the country at the time.
Nice.
And it was a fantastic achievement. And at the weight he won it, at the bantamweight, which is one of the lighter weights, it's unbelievable. But, you know, just like, to win a national title at any sport is great, but to win one at boxing is unbelievable, you know.
John, lovely way to finish up.
Okay.
The best of luck and keep in touch.
Right, well done, Ollie.
Thanks, John. Ollie, listen, before, thanks, John. John O'Regan, they're doing great work for the young boxers out in Ballyduff. He tells me he's taught the young fellas in the club out there.
Come here,
what do you think of boxing today? What do you think of all the shenanigans going on?
Oh.
Tyson and all these.
I don't rate in boxing at all. That's rackets. Rackets. Nothing.
Are you disillusioned with it, Ali?
I am, especially with the goings on and the biting and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
The fights are so bad now in the Eurovision, I turn them off.
Yeah?
That just helps me get me to turn the boxing match off.
Yeah, you turn them off.
I turn them off, and you can't look at them.
Yeah.
And the results, the decisions, my goodness. It isn't but the decisions in the amateur over this, the headgear. And the beating the computers, judging. That to me isn't.
You're still, and before we forget it, you're still practicing your physiotherapy and your chiropody. You're still going full blast, aren't you?
Oh, I'm cool.
Yeah. As busy as ever?
Oh, no, not.
Oh, I remember way back in the 50s, I got a very bad shoulder injury playing basketball. I tore all the. Oh, Eric Murphy down in Castlevian said to tell you that you looked after him. John Kelly, the sparman, who's bringing out the mental hospital book, St. Finian's book later on. John Kelly said you looked after him very well. I don't know how many people I met to say that you looked after him. You must have looked after half the country. You enjoyed it, Ali, did you?
I did. I love working.
You enjoyed it all?
I do.
You did, yeah?
The job I do, I love it.
Yes.
Sometimes I take them at night after tea and day and night.
You have two sons, of course.
I have.
What are their names?
Anthony, he's in America now. No, he's a computer expert. And Richard is back at home now.
Somebody tells me that you're one of the most doting grandfathers that's in Sunday. Is that right?
I don't know about that.
Is that right, though? You're very proud of your grandchildren.
I am.
Is that right?
They're good children, yeah.
Yeah. Looking back now, Ali, looking back at your career, at your sports career, have you any regrets?
Not really,
no. Well, Ali, listen, you want to say something about the shooting?
This is one of the things that of the sports that I enjoyed most.
Yes.
And I mean, I've spoken about it much, which is a game you don't talk too much about.
I know, yes.
You could find yourself boasting about it, which I can't anyway. I'm only just a very fair shot.
Ali Brown, listen to me. I've heard your name mentioned since I was a young fella. I always wanted to meet you. You treated me when I had a bad shoulder. You put me right. It was a great honour and a great privilege to have you on Terrace Talk. Last word for the Kerry public.
Thank you very much, PC. That's lovely. I'm still working, but no applications for training, please.
Yeah, that's fine. Honourable Brown, it was great to have you. And I hope Frankie Bryan emulates you
I hope
over
does.
The weekend.
I wish him the best of luck.
Ollie Brown, thanks for the memories.
You're welcome.